Take your Bibles and you can turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. And the title of my sermon tonight, you kind of figure out where we're going with this one if you paid attention to the children's corner this morning. But the question tonight is what you see, what you do? That can have a positive meaning and a negative meaning. Is what you see, what you do? We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19 tonight. This morning we shared in the children's corner, this is Paul's defense before King Agrippa and Festus. And he's been brought to them because the Jews thought he was causing a riot and was desecrating the temple. And this series of events fulfills God's will in Paul's life for him to go to Rome. And so the beginning of this chapter talks about Paul stating for himself his defense. And folks, when you're in God's will, you don't need a defense. He's there with you. And so in this passage, Paul is recounting his testimony. Folks, we all have a testimony. Anyone who has been saved and received Christ as your Savior, this is where you were, this is who you are, and God did it. And you know what steps you took to get saved, that God would save you, and you could share that as Brother Zach talked about this morning. So in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19, Paul is talking about the circumstances of his conversion. We know that he was out to persecute the church. He, just like every other Jewish leader, wanted this stuff about Jesus to go away. The world wants the stuff about Jesus to go away. But folks, we need to keep on witnessing. We need to keep on sending missionaries. We need to be a light in darkness because it is getting darker.
Right.
It is getting darker. And so he says here in verse 12, he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Folks, when you're in the presence of Jesus, there is no darkness. He is light. He says, "I am the light of the world." Verse 14, it says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." See, Paul has perfect recollection of his salvation experience. He has perfect recollection of how this happened. If you're kind of fuzzy about it, you need to pray to God that He'll get that unfuzzied in your life. Verse 15, he says, "And I said, Who art thou?" What? "Lord. Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Everyone who is saved gets the exact same commission. This is the Great Commission, folks. We may be called to certain people. We may be called to certain people that we know of, but it is our responsibility to share what's happened to us to others so they can get saved too. And then the key verse tonight is verse 19. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." You know, in our language today, there is the phrase that seeing is doing. In fact, in 2018, there was an MIT study. They have to be right. They're the elite. It says, study shows where the brain transforms seeing into doing. And they mapped the brain and said it was here. Folks, God knows this well before the scientists at MIT. You know why? He made us. He made us. See, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8 says this, all things are full of labor. Men cannot utter it. And look at the next thing. It says the eye is not satisfied with seeing until what? Until you do it. And the ear filled with hearing until you what? Finish it off. See, this is just the way things get into our brain. How did Christ get tempted? With the lust of the eyes and the lust of flesh and the pride of life. Just like we're tempted. Everything comes through the eye gate or the ear gate or the sense gate. Every man sins when he's what? Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So the point is that when we think good things, we do good things. When we think evil things, we do evil things. A tree is known by its fruit. A fountain is known by the quality of the water that comes out of it. See, God gave you eyes to see. And tonight I want you to see God's truth. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. He gave you eyes for a reason. He gave you ears for a reason. He gave you legs for a reason. He gave you arms for a reason to serve Him. He wants us to find Him and to have a relationship with Him and to serve Him. See, God gave you eyes to see. So Paul could have seen what? The heavenly vision. God wants you to understand what you see. Sometimes that's tough. Sometimes that's tough. You know, we sit there and sometimes we throw the disciples under the bus because here they are, they're walking with God in the flesh and God's given them all this stuff and they don't get it. Folks, if they don't get it, we won't get it sometimes ourselves. And then they're talking about here in Mark chapter 6, verse 8. Christ talks to His disciples. He says, what's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember? Don't you remember how I fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fishes? And why do you think that I can't do the same thing now? Folks, why do we think God is the God of yesterday? He's the God of the present, and He's going to be the God of the future. And we need to understand that. See, God gives you eyes to see. God wants us to understand what we see. Because, see, seeing winds up into doing. See, because the last thing is God wants us to do. In John chapter 4, verse 35, the last part of that verse, once again, He's talking to those who are following Him. Folks, we're following Jesus, or we say we are. Aren't we?
Yeah.
In the last part of John 4, 35, it says this, lift up your what? Eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Folks, there's the fields out there. If we're just looking in here, we're wrong. Look out there. We're supposed to minister out there, serve out there, witness out there. Look up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And what's the implication? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send what? Laborers. We're the laborers, folks. You know, going out in the field is unskilled labor. God gives us everything that we need in order to go out and do that. All we have to do is have a burden and look for opportunities and be bold in speaking. That Bob thing, okay? That Zach was talking about this morning. So this evening I want to talk about this one verse, verse 19, and make 3 points out of it. Last week we talked about the man with 20/20 vision. Who was that? That was Paul. See, he was consumed with one person, and his name was Jesus. See, the first point is this, is that now it stopped again. Okay? Paul only needed one vision. He didn't need a whole bunch of theology. He didn't need a discipleship class. He didn't need to be an apprentice to something. He just needed the vision. And folks, we need the vision too. You know why? Because if we see the vision, we're going to do all the things necessary to fulfill it. It won't even be an issue with us. See, Paul only needed the vision. The vision is required. We just can't go on in ministry not understanding that the central focus of ministry is Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, because if we don't have a vision of Jesus and what He's told us to do, there are people lost and going to hell out there. There will be people in your families doing the same thing. Folks, where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have a vision, and we have to give it to other people. And it says this, it says, but he that what? Keepeth the law. We talked in Galatians about the law of liberty, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. We need to do that. He that keepeth the law, what? Happy is he. You know why? Because he knows where he's going. And he knows he's doing the right thing. And he has the presence of God in his life. See, Paul only needed one vision. One vision is required, and that's Jesus. See, who was he talking about to Agrippa? He was talking about meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road. Paul only needed one vision. The second thing is the vision must be shared. In his testimony to Agrippa, he says that Jesus went beyond. He says, just so he'll be saved, which is a good thing. He says, I'm going to make you a minister to the Gentiles. You know, that's the last thing that Paul probably wanted to hear. Because the Jews hated the Gentiles, especially the religious ones, especially the ones that were legalistic, especially the ones that said, we're so much better than them. See, God can change the direction of your life. God can make you look at things a totally different way. But see, when God's people don't share the vision, people perish. People perish. If you go back to 1 Samuel, there's the story of Eli. And Eli had two sons who were the priests. And the priest and his sons were into immorality instead of doing holiness. They were in serving themselves instead of serving God. And things were not happening right. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And look at what happened. Folks, if God's people who are set in position to do God's work don't do the work, this is what will happen. And the word of God was precious in those days. What does it mean? It means it was scarce. It was scarce. People weren't hearing about it. They were canceled out. And then look at the next phrase. There was no what? Open vision. Here is a nation that God had taken out of bondage, set them in a land that He promised them to do, fought their battles for them, told them the method of worship, told them the plan of worship, gave them the instruments of worship. All they said, just follow me. Just follow me and everything would be fine. But you know something? When God's people don't do what God wants them to do, the word of God becomes scarce in the world. And there's no open vision and people don't even know that God exists. And in fact, people will rise up and say, there is no God because he's dead. Because where is your God? Remember how all those kings that came up against Jerusalem, they mocked God. They said, where is your God? All the other gods of all these nations didn't save them. Your God's not going to save you. You know why? Because God's people weren't doing what God wanted them to do. Because they didn't have a vision. See, Paul only needed one vision, and that was of Jesus. We as a church need only one vision, and that is of Jesus. Because if there's no vision, people will die and go to hell. The vision must be shared. Verse 19, he says, I became obedient until the what? Heavenly vision. So there was a vision. Paul got a vision, but he only needed one. He didn't need visions. More would be coming later. And God even promised that at the beginning. See, it's interesting to notice that when we get saved, we start doing what God... All these promises that God's got come fall into the future. And we will experience them. But Paul's vision only came from one source. It was heavenly. See, Paul's vision came from the one true source, from God in heaven. From God in heaven. See, when all these crowds were following Jesus when he was in earthly ministry and they were at the feast, and there were some Greeks at the feast. The Greeks weren't interested in what food they were eating. The Greeks weren't interested in how they did things in the temple. The Greeks weren't interested in the clothes that they had to wear. They were only interested in one thing. In John chapter 12, the two people that were looking for Jesus said, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying what? Sir, we would see Jesus. They had a desire. They had a desire to serve Jesus. Paul was kind of accosted on the road. Folks, we have the ability to have a desire to see Jesus. He's here tonight. He's here in his word. He's in every one of us who believes. Paul's vision came from the only one true source. He says, Jesus says this, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. And the life. See, accepting more than one source is death. I'll give you an example. If you want to take your Bibles, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And here's a story about a godly man given a task by God. He's given a vision by God to go do something. Okay? And it says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord. He said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense from thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. There's a vision. There's a vision of righteousness. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put his hand upon the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull it in again. You try to get in God's way, you're going to find out that God's God. Amen. The altar also was what? Rent. You know why? Because God said so. The man of God had a vision, and he just did where he was told. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now, here comes the tricky part. Verse 6, and the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So now Jeroboam is really happy. He got his hand back. You know, that's God's mercy. See, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. See, God gives a specific direction in our vision. He said, you go straight there, you do this, you come straight back. Don't get sidetracked. Okay? So he went another way and returned not by the way he came to Bethel. And there came, and there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, and them they told also unto their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. You can't hide your identity. People will recognize you for who you are. Are you a man or woman of God? We can't hide our identity. Verse 15. Then he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And look at this. And this is why the church is messed up today.
Right.
This is why Christians get off track. Because people come and say, oh, I got a word of the Lord. I got knowledge. I got this. Look at this next verse. Verse 18. He said to him, I'm a prophet as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Folks, there's only one source of truth. And anything that's not part of that one source of truth is a lie. See, people want you to fall. People want to cause trouble. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. You know something? My Bible tells me this. God changeth not. I get very disturbed about all this new revelation about the Bible and what the Bible really means in these things. Folks, the Bible says what it says and means what it says.
Amen.
And there's no change from that. There's no variableness or shadow of turning with it. It's truth. My Bible tells me, God said, I change not. His will is His will. His truth is His truth. It changes. And if somebody said, well, I'm a person of God too, just need to do it a different way because God gave me a thing. God's not going to change. That's a lie. See, that's accepting another source of truth. Folks, the only source of truth you accept is this.
Right.
That sounds pretty fanatical. Well, people are learning that the more you study this, the more things make more sense. Verse 20, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came into the prophet that brought him back. See, God's in total control here. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, camest back, hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. God doesn't change. Sin is sin.
Right.
Righteousness is righteousness. Holiness is holiness. It's not man's idea. It's not religion. It's faith. It's following what God says. He says, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in the place which the Lord did say to eat no bread or drink no water, thy carcass shall not come to the sepulchres of thy father. You're not going back to Judah. You're going to fall short of the destination that God has set out for you. Think of that. You start listening to other things and start saying the truth, you're going to fall short of where God wants you to go.
Right.
It came to pass that when he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, they saddled him for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, the man passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And in verse 26 it says this, and when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was what? Disobedient. What sounded good at the moment? He said he was a Christian. He said he heard the word from God. He said, what's wrong in that? It wasn't what you were told in the first place by God. See, Paul was obedient to the heavenly. And it basically, he says, I was what? Didn't say he was obedient. He was not disobedient. See, we have an awful easy time to become disobedient. It's an awful hard thing to become obedient. And it says, obedient to the word of the Lord, therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. See, folks, there's only one source of truth. See, Paul only needed one vision, that was Jesus. The vision from Jesus only comes from one source, and that's from God. It was a heavenly vision. Man wasn't involved in it at all. What we have is we have this treasure in earthly vessels. We have God's commandment. He told his disciples, he said, this is what you're going to do. Paul's vision came from only one source. Third, Paul only had one acceptable option. Okay? Let's look at the options here. Okay? When you go back to Acts chapter 9, he said, okay, Paul says, what do you want me to do, Lord? He says, go to Damascus, go find the way straight, the street called straight, find a guy by name of Ananias, and he's going to tell you what to do. Okay? So what did Paul do? He went there. What would have happened if Paul had not done that? He would have stayed blind for the rest of his life. See, Paul had one acceptable option to gain his sight back. That was to do what God told him to. In Acts chapter 9, verse 12, and it says, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might what? Receive his what? Sight. See, if you see the heavenly vision and you're disobedient to it, you don't have spiritual eyesight. You're going the other way. When you get back on track to God, God will restore that vision to you. His life changed direction. In verse 20 of Acts chapter 26, he says, but show first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do what? Works meet for repentance. See, along the way, he says, you go to Ananias, he's going to give you your sight back. Ananias was told by God that God had set him apart to be a what? A preacher to the Gentiles. Paul was told by God, he says, if you do these things are going to happen to you. Going to change your life direction. Folks, if we only have one vision, Jesus, it will change your life direction. You won't start thinking about yourself anymore. You'll think about what God wants for you to do. It will change you. It will change your family. It will change our church. It can change our nation. But see, it's something that has to be shared. Because back in Eli's day, the word was scarce. There was no open vision. And people were perishing because there's no vision right now. So, he only had one acceptable option to gain his eyesight back. He only had one acceptable option to have the right direction in his life. He only had one acceptable option because his path was guided to a place he'd never been before. Look at the other visions that Paul got because he was obedient to the first one. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. See, when God calls you, he does it. For Paul's case, in a vision. He's given us a vision. It's right here, folks. The roadmap is right here. You go look at Isaiah 1:1. You look at Ezekiel 1:1. You look at Obadiah 1:1. You look at Nahum 1:1. It talks about the vision that God gave them. It said, just do this. It changed. It gave them spiritual eyesight. It gave them a direction to change to help people. And these people were doing things that they probably never thought they would ever do before. Seeing things that they never thought they would ever see before. And lastly, he saw God's glory. He understood, he experienced the presence of God and saw God's glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says this. He says, how that he was caught up into what? Paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. See, it all is a vision of Jesus. The first vision of Jesus is you need to have a vision of Him as your Savior. If you don't have a vision of Him as your Savior, you need to get saved tonight. No matter how long you've been in church, no matter what kind of family you grew up in, no matter where you live, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a home in heaven right now, if you say if you died right now, you don't know where you spend eternity, you need that vision tonight. And folks, if we're obedient to what Jesus says, He's going to open up vistas to you that we never thought. He's going to show us what true truth is all about. He's going to give us spiritual eyesight to see things and to recognize things that's going on in this world today. He's going to allow us to go out and share that with other people. He's going to basically change our life's direction and put us on paths and take us places we've never been before. Folks, this church could go places we never thought possible before. And we just become obedient to God's vision. It's interesting how Paul phrased that. He says, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. See, the common thing is that we're disobedient to it. Because it goes in one ear, out the other. We see something. How many times have you seen something and then just didn't even remember what you saw? Folks, we need to have God as our vision. I want to close this message with this song. Be Thou My Vision. You know this song? Okay? Let's sing it. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not all else to me, say that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. You see what happens when you have vision? This writer had vision. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven, joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Is God your vision tonight? He needs to be your vision. We cannot be disobedient to it and expect God's work to go the way God wants it to. We are His ministers. We are His ambassadors. It is up to us to have this vision of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to make You our vision. And to follow You in all things. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.